Hey, this is Bootstrapped Web, episode 102. We're back at it today. We'll do kind of a quick updates episode. Jordan, how's it going?
It's good, man. Nice to speak with you. Yeah, this is going to be one of our freeform episodes. Just talk about whatever comes to mind. Just jump on in between one call and another and hash it out. But we've got a lot going on. I'm sure once we start rolling, you know, things will come up.
Yeah, totally.
So Brian, your loop of the great United States is complete.
Yes, we did a big loop, East Coast to West Coast and back, and it feels good. It feels good to be back. Now I'm in Connecticut. It still doesn't quite feel like home because, well, we're not home. We're still in an Airbnb, but we are back in Connecticut. We're kind of shopping around for a house around here, and that's got all, you know, some stressful and exciting things all at the same time. But, you know, we'll still be kind of renting and looking around for the next couple of months. But yeah, it's good to be back, you know, close to the family and everything and back to our old stomping grounds here in Connecticut.
Nice, man. Must feel good. I miss Connecticut.
Yeah. You know, I did miss it too. Although today it's like cold and rainy, which I definitely don't miss.
But yeah, nobody misses that.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to have you back on the East Coast. I saw that map that you posted on Facebook of your journey. That thing is scary looking.
I know. So that was something my wife was doing. She has some iPhone app that like tracks our locations, or like she inputs our locations, puts a big,
right,
you know, our tracks our progress over the map, and it kind of makes that cool map image. So
that was a legit road trip right there.
Yeah. Basically, we went from up here down to Virginia, then North Carolina, then New Orleans, Austin, Texas, across the Southwest, Grand Canyon, up through California to San Francisco, and then back down the Pacific Coast, then across Utah, which was amazing, by the way, and then into Colorado, where we stayed for a little while, and then across all the cornfields back to Connecticut.
Very nice. Yeah, Utah, I don't even know if it's underrated. Anyone who's been there knows how amazing it is. It's a great state.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful.
Nice, dude. Well, things in Portland are good. Getting, you know, on the personal front, things getting a little hairy. Got my third daughter due in less than a month. You know, as we get closer, that like starts to eclipse all the other business pressure, because it's like, it just helps put in perspective that's fun and important, and like that's like the point of everything. So it's been good to have that perspective, because shit is real on the business front.
Nothing like having kids to really make you start focusing in on what matters in the business.
Yeah, it's true. And I find myself the most stressed and unhappy when things are quiet, and happiest and most at ease when things are a little bit insane. So I kind of like that. You know, it just feels like there's a lot of activity. But I would categorize the past week as high stakes.
Well, actually, I have a question for you, not to get off on a whole sidetrack here today, but so, you know, yours is expected in the next 3-4 weeks. I'm actually expecting my second daughter now about 2 months from now, late April. And so just looking back on when our first daughter was born 2 years ago now, I just remember that week. You know, it's exciting and everything when she arrives, but I was still so consumed in my work, and there were actually a lot of things going on in my business, like changes and things going on. So I had a little bit of regret that I didn't block off that time of the year to try to step back from work and really be completely focused in on family. And this time around, I'm planning on trying to spend, you know, May of this year around the time that she's expected to be like not planning too many big projects that month. But I'm curious about you. Like, do you think about that at all? Like what's going on?
I think about it a lot. In the previous two kids, I had a good amount of time. I think the first one, I'm not sure if I was in between things or just doing like my own thing before Carhook started, right? It's 4 years ago. So I was just doing my own thing, and I definitely had plenty of time. The second one, slightly less so. It's not that you become desensitized, but look, the first kid, I went to like every OB appointment with my wife.
Oh, man.
Dude, and on this one, I don't know the OB. You know,
like, we have nothing.
I met them once.
We have nothing. Like, we're 2 months away, and, you know, the first one we had cribs, we had the whole room picked out. This time around, like, we've been traveling around the country, we have not bought one piece of like new baby equipment or anything. Like, there's no baby shower or whatever. It's just this is happening.
And I think that's just normal. It is something I have been trying to not think about this time around, because unfortunately this is one of those kind of adult situations where I don't really have a choice. We are launching the biggest thing the company's ever done the same week that the kid is expected. So I'm going to have to juggle, and my attention is going to be split, and I don't like that. It's just the way it is right now. So it sucks, and I wish I had more control over that. This is just one of those situations where I don't have control. So I could either be upset about it, or I could just kind of, you know, deal with it.
Yeah, but you've got a good team now, so.
Yes. So that side of it, it's not like I'm going to be working all day. It's just that my attention inevitably will be split, because as we get closer to that, I will give more detail about what we've been working on. It's a new product. I think it might be the first time I've said it on the podcast. But we have something big coming up in a few weeks.
You and I talked about this.
Yes, you and I have talked about it, but I've been keeping it quiet. And as it starts to get closer, I can talk more freely about it. But it's all happening right on the same week that the dude is there. So that will be.
And I mean, really not hard to give away too much about the product, but this is something coming from Carthook. Like, it's a Carthook product.
Right? It is a Carthook product.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. It's a Carthook product, and there's a specific launch event. And so I know exactly when the launch event is, and that is exactly one day after the due date. And so that's when it's going to happen. So I'm doing as much as I can in anticipation of not wanting to be focused on work that week, but having a responsibility to do a lot of things. So yes, thinking about it and kind of maneuvering around it.
Yeah. So you're heading out to MicroConf, as am I.
Yeah. Very exciting. That's what? Yeah. 2 months, less than 2 months away.
Yeah.
Beginning of April. That's 6 weeks or so.
Yeah, cool. Excited. Should be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. And, you know, I think one interesting thing to talk about is the attendee talk, right? We both did attendee talks last time. And I mean, it makes you nervous and sweaty. And it makes the conference a slightly different experience until you actually get it done with. And then you have a more relaxing experience. It's similar to what we've talked about in starting a podcast. Just putting stuff out there and separating yourself from average is good for you. And so I'm really tempted to just not even apply for an attendee talk. But I think I have to take my own advice. You know, if somebody asked me what I would do if I were them, I would say anytime you can possibly do anything to set yourself apart, then you got to do it. So I'm going to apply for an attendee talk. I think I have another like 6 hours to.
Yeah,
to
I think is it due today or tomorrow? Something like
it's
that?
It's today at 7 p.m. Pacific. I know because I haven't put anything in. Have you put something in?
Yeah, I put something in a couple days ago. And
have you put in one? I'm tempted to put in two.
Oh, I didn't even.
Politically, that's stupid. I would split whatever vote anyone would actually put in for me. Split it.
I put one in. I actually didn't realize that you could put more than one in. But I don't think that would really make sense even. Like you said, to have two.
Right. If someone wants to give you some love, don't make them split it up. Yep.
Yeah. What I have seen a few people do is go to whatever groups you're in and pitch two or three different topics, like which one do you think I should submit?
Well, I did that, and the one I didn't want to win won.
Cool. You know, the thing with the MicroConf attendee talks, and somebody asked me for feedback on their like draft topic before they submitted it. And I think a lot of people try to get overly creative with these things. And I think the attendee talks are different than full speaker talks. You know, don't think of it like first of all, the time limit, but don't think of it like it's a talk at a conference, even though technically it is. It's more about a success story. Try to talk about a success story, and this audience likes metrics and something that they can learn from, but it also has to be something that people are going to upvote and get you into that top 12.
And right, because it's going to be valuable to them, not just because you want to hear yourself speak.
Exactly. Yeah, and so I forgot the one, like Anders Peterson, he was talking about at MicroConf Europe how he he put like clickbait in the headline of his talk because he had a legit lesson that he wanted to share. And we talked about this on the show, you know, back when we did the recap. I forgot what it was now, but yeah, like something about how he like, I'm going to butcher it, so I'm not even going to say it. But yeah.
Jordan talks about growth through integrations, but when he starts talking, watch what happens, right? That's the clickbait version.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I like the one that I put in is going to be something about audience ops and the fast growth that I've seen in the first eight, nine months of launching it and how we went to from zero to, you know, whatever in 9 months and some like five lessons learned during that time, like something like that. But, you know, I think something actionable, something like a success story, I think that's what people want to hear.
Well, unfortunately, I think this episode will come out after the voting. So if you voted, thanks.
Yep.
Cool, man. What is happening on the AO front? What you up to this week?
Yeah, so we've got some updates here. Should I get into mine here first?
Sure, unless you want me to go.
All right, so I've got one thing that's just kind of been on my mind for a while, and I haven't done a whole lot about this quite yet, but just a few ideas kicking around. So, and that's company culture, right? So now, you know, AudienceOps, the team is growing. We've got about 12 people on the team now, and you know, we've got a really, really active Slack chat room, just like every other team in the online world does these days. But I feel like that alone is not company culture, right? I think it has to go beyond that. And like we could chat and we can do emails and it's kind of work related, or and we do have a lot of activity around like, hey, what's going on? How's your weekend? Kind of, you know, or like funny stuff like that. But I just feel like there's not enough of the teammates getting to know one another and hear where each other are coming from, especially since we all live in different places. It's a fully remote team. So I'm just trying to think of different ideas to get the team more integrated and kind of get to know each other better.
Do you do video calls?
You know, we've done them on and off, like team meetings and things, but they've just never been productive. Like they always end up just, you know, it just seems like a waste of time, and either I'm the one talking the whole time. They work really well with groups of like two or three, and we do those quite a bit, especially with clients. What I do sometimes is when I need to announce like some kind of new update, like actually just yesterday I released internally a whole new round of updates to our procedures that our assistants follow to do the setups of blog posts and social media updates and things, just to reduce mistakes, make sure that we're getting everything in on time. You know, some deadlines have been missed lately, so I wanted to fix a few things in our process. And so I just recorded like a 20-minute video kind of walking through these are the changes. And actually, I'm going to get into this a little bit in my next update, but you know, I'll just share a video with the team. But basically, some ideas around company culture. So one idea is this thing called briefs.fm, and this comes from Ben Orenstein, who joined us on the Colorado trip, Big Snow Tiny Conf. And this is a really cool idea. So I think it's briefs. Yeah, briefs.fm. And this is, the whole idea is like it's 3-minute podcasting. So it's a super, super easy way to create a podcast, but the episodes are limited to 3 minutes max. And it's got this mechanism where you can just email to it. You can like email your episodes to it. And you can give that email address to like a group of people, and the group can all contribute to the podcast, if that makes sense.
Sort of.
So
okay, so the culture thing is very hard to put your finger on. Like what do you think, what's the benefit you're going for people to just be happier in general, for everyone to be on the same page more, for there to be more like camaraderie? Like what is all this supposed to accomplish?
I think all of the above, and also just I think that work gets done better when people feel accountable to one another.
Yeah, and they know each other and care about each other.
Yeah, they know about each other. They know, you know, they're not screwing each other over when they're turning stuff in late, or they're not committed to the work at AudienceOps or committed to the company. I think it adds an element of loyalty to the company and to your position at AudienceOps. Just, you know, I think it makes you, you know, enjoy the work when you feel like you're actually part of a team, and it's not just yourself plugging into some system, which, you know, it's a productized service and we have a ton of systems and processes and SOPs and stuff. And that stuff is really important for everything to run, but there also needs to be an element of, you know, we're all kind of like in this as a team, and working toward larger goals. And now that we have, you know, some full-time employees, whereas before it was, almost everybody was part-time. We still have a mix of part-time and full-time now, but, you know, so that's just something that I'm thinking about. So like this idea of a podcast, and so the idea would be an internal podcast. So there are a couple different ideas that I've been kicking around. One is this internal podcast where maybe I'll get on a 3-minute call with somebody on the team and just interview them for 3 minutes, say like, hey, what's new, what's going on in your world? Maybe share some tip or some, you know, you've done a really great job of this lately, tell us about that, and just share that with the team and try to do one or two of those every week internally and just share it on Slack. And maybe have, you know, the teammates kind of, you know, talk with each other on those episodes. And then it's something that everybody else can kind of tune into. So that, and it doesn't require the whole team to get on a call together at the same time. It's just like a little 3-minute update that everyone can kind of consume, you know, on their own time. You know, another idea that I would love to get to at some point, is to fly the team out to a retreat. At least once or twice a year.
We're dying to do that.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Yeah. I'd like to, you know, maybe do like a trip to like Chicago or something, you know, like something central, you know, and,
that like 3 days of that would do more than anything else online.
Yeah, totally. Yep. Of course that's really expensive to fly everybody to one place, but I think it would be totally worth it. And it's something that, you know, maybe we'll plan it this year. Maybe it'll happen next year or something like that.
We're trying to reward ourselves with that when we hit MRR goals.
Yeah, I like it. Yep. What was the other thing on company culture? Oh, just, I guess this is kind of a small thing, and this is really not really so much culture, but it's more like getting things done. I'm experimenting right now with a tool called Status Hero, which is, you know, similar to like I Done This. It's one of those tools where you set it up and then it sends everybody on the team an email, and you can set it up to be daily. I set it up to be Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Everybody gets an email in the morning that says, what did you get done in the last 2 days? What are your goals for the next 2 days? And what's kind of standing in your way? Anything impeding your progress? The Status Hero is really cool because it integrates really, really nicely with Slack. And so everybody submits their answers, and then those answers get posted to a Slack channel. And so I'm kind of experimenting with that, starting with just a segment of the team. So just the assistants are doing it, and I'm doing it myself as well. I'm putting in my updates. And I think that obviously helps us get a feel for what everybody's working on and making sure that nothing's holding us up. But I think it's also an opportunity for people to give a quick personal update, like, hey, this is what's going on today. Like I'm kind of feeling sick today, or I've been kind of preoccupied with this other thing going on. And just so people are aware, you know, rather than like just waiting around, like, why is this thing late from this person? Like, you don't really know what's going on in their world unless they have a way to give an update like that. So I actually like it just personally, because I'm submitting my answers too. And it's also a way of like personal accountability. Like these are my goals for the next 2 days. I've published these goals. Now I need to report on them 2 days from now. And,
it's easier for us because we have three people. So it's just a smaller group. We do a daily stand up over video. So that's kind of like the central piece of the culture. When we see each other, we kind of goof off and just talk unseriously for the first 5 minutes before getting into the actual stand-up. What are you working on? What's your biggest priority of the day? What do you want to have done by the end of the day, sort of thing? So that's when we can see each other, see how we're feeling. I know Rock right now has the flu, and I know where he's at because of that. I know what Ben is dealing with a few technical headaches, and where his, you know, frustration level is and his mood. Right. And so that carries over into Slack, where we're talking and joking. We have one Slack channel that's just for casual conversation. that's just kind of this rolling comedy show. We have like some inside jokes. I mean, the name of the company is Cart Hook, so obviously we're hookers. And so there's like comedy wrapped around everything. And, you know, then it gets serious and I talk about my kids and we post like pictures of my kids' birthday party. So it tends to be like this talk in person and then everything gets carried over into Slack. And then you feel better about sharing things in your personal life. And
yeah,
it's a very strange thing. It's very hard to create, but it's very,
yeah, the important. Daily, like the daily stand-up thing, or even like I tried weekly meetings, video calls at one point. For us as a productized service, or as like the nature of our particular service, it's just, it's not the same as a SaaS, where I think you guys are probably talking every day. Like, these are the features that we're building. This is the progress that we're making. You know, you guys are like,
this is why we hate technology. This is why we hate Shopify.
Well, but what I mean like is like from week to week in building a SaaS, it's very different. Like the projects that you're working on are very different because you're building feature after feature after feature, you know, and it's kind of different from week to week. Whereas with us, I mean, we are improving things, but it's more about like just running a production line, you know, and it's pretty repetitive to be honest. So it's,
right. And you need to figure out a way for people to still be able to be creative within that system, or they'll get bored.
Yeah. But I just wonder, like, if we had daily updates, what would we say other than like, you know, submit another article today, did this, did that. And it's kind of the same update every week. But yeah, I mean, you know, that could be an idea too, to try to work it out into some, maybe it's like smaller groups or something. But yeah, that's basically like, it's just something that's on my mind, the company culture thing, especially as a, oh, the other thing just to go along with that is, you know, I've been working on our new teammate, onboarding, and like now we have like a list of everybody on the team, pinned right there in Slack, so that like new people know exactly who's who and who's doing what. And, you know, I just got to keep in mind like that people need to get to know each other, especially when they're new. And I need to have ways for people to get embedded into the team.
Right. Not to like force it, but you do need to create the opportunities for people to talk like friends, like humans.
Right. Right. But yeah.
Cool, man. So it's very, very interesting stuff that is oftentimes ignored and like kind of below the surface. But I think I take it for granted a little bit because we are, we're in a good place on that. Because we're, and a lot of it is because we're dealing with things, and we know the fire gets directed at one person and then the other and then the other person. So you have like this natural sympathy for the other person. Like a few days ago, I knew Ben was drowning, and then it shifted over to Rock being sick with the flu, coding for 12 hours straight to get a big customer up and running and fixing a bunch of stuff. And then it fell to me to do this other stuff. So you start to sympathize and appreciate and kind of admire the other people for what they're good at. And yeah, it's three also makes it very easy.
Yeah. And just a quick final note on that status hero thing. You know, another reason why I wanted to put it in there is for me to put in my answers, because sometimes I feel like the rest of the team doesn't know what I'm working on. Everybody knows what everybody's working on because they're all either writers or they're assistants or they're a designer, and like they kind of have their roles in our system. But with me, like it's, especially when I was traveling, like it's easy for me to just kind of disappear for a few hours at a time. And it kind of seems like I'm not doing much work when in fact I'm working my ass off every day.
But I'm
doing things that aren't exactly public, like in our production line. So in my like status update, I'll say, you know, I'm working on a new process here, or I took 3 sales calls yesterday, or, you know, just to like, I'm working here too, guys. Like, <you know?
laughs> Yeah. And it's not to take credit. It's just to show momentum and commitment.
I don't want anybody to feel like I'm like abandoning the company or anything like that. Cause I, you know, I'm just constantly building and improving things on my end. So.
Cool, man. Well, on my side of things, it's been very high pressure. It has been a week of dealing with bigger customers and trying to convert them into paying customers, and at the same time dealing with kind of a big, we had a big tech headache over the weekend. It was a giant pain in the ass. And oftentimes it comes at the worst possible time. And it's not so much coincidental, at least not in this case. It's as a result of taking on a big new customer. And then they just stretch your resources and then shit starts to break. And so, of course, right when a big customer comes on board, that's when you're dealing with it. So it's even more frustrating. So
was it literally like the technical bandwidth of their store, or was it?
No, it's of our system. And look, if you put in two requests per second at an API, that's one thing. And then if you put 50 per second, then that's when the faults get exposed. That's when things start tripping on themselves and the queue doesn't work and the timestamps start getting mixed up because it's just so much more volume that it can't handle it. So we had a really well-known like hip-hop star. Basically, their site signed up.
Like they're selling merchandise or something?
Yeah, their merchandise said, I'm like, oh my God, that's fucking awesome. Yeah. You know, I listened to that guy. That's amazing. So you get all excited. You get the high. They sign up. I get them on the phone. Great relationship. Everything's perfect. Awesome. So exciting. Big new prospect. One we can talk about. Amazing logo to have. And then they sign up. We start tracking. They do like, I don't even know, 50 grand in revenue in like 12 hours. And everything explodes. And that's on Friday. And our lead developer, the Rockman, is on vacation in Austria with his girlfriend, which is fantastic because, you know, it's the weekend. Go do your thing. Enjoy. But that's when everything broke. So then we got to take everything offline. And then we got – so it's that mixed in with the pressure of we had three big prospects end their trial and I needed to convert them. That, right? That's my role. So it was, you have to maintain the confidence to ask someone for, you know, for $500 a month or more, while you know in the back of your mind that half your app is like exploding and on fire. And we didn't want to lose the big hip hop prospect, obviously. So it was just felt like a lot of pressure. It has an effect on forward progress, right? How much motivation do I have to like get a new set of Facebook ads going when I know that our developers are being creamed and they can't do it. No bandwidth for anything, and support tickets are starting to pile up. So it kind of like everything comes to a halt.
Yeah. But you know that like, yeah, you're doing all this work just to get this one big customer on board, but you know that all this work is still going to pay off because you're going to make your app that much more bulletproof and can handle bigger capacity going forward, and it'll be better right for it.
Right. There's always that byproduct. You just want to hold on to the prospect that forced you into that situation also. Right. So to have them walk away would be understandable because they sign up 12 hours later, they had a tech problem. And then our app would be better for it. Sure. But we also want to keep them too. So there's the juggling, and that, to go back to the culture thing, that puts a lot of pressure on three people. And then that's when you really see the relationship and the quality of it. So I was very, very happy with how we handled it and how everyone treated each other throughout the whole thing. And it's good because I know there's definitely like an all for one, one for all group feeling. That it's not like, oh, this is annoying, I have to deal with it. It's, this is what I'm responsible for and something's wrong. Like I want to fix it because I don't want to let these other two people down for something that I'm responsible for.
Right, right.
Yep.
Cool. So my other little update here is I wrote down incentivizing the team. And this is something that I've been making different shifts over time, especially as some of the team is going to full-time. And the idea is to just make sure that the incentives are aligned. And I mean, most of the time that has to do with their pay structure, right? And so like one thing that we're doing now is quarterly bonuses, which is something that I had when I was an employee at a web agency when I was younger, which I just really liked. You know, every quarter you get a little bit of a bonus, nothing huge, but it kind of builds up as you get near the end of the year. And that, you know, supposed to reflect your performance as well as the performance of the company, but they're in these like 3 month time periods, so it's kind of cool. And so I just implemented that for all the full-time employees and audience apps, including the assistants. And you know, lately we've been dealing, as our volume of work has increased, we've been dealing with the assistants kind of falling behind on some setups and like setting up blog posts and social media posts. And occasionally they'll make a mistake in a tweet or something. And so I did a whole reworking of our process to make sure that those mistakes are reduced and to kind of streamline things in new ways. And we've brought on a fourth assistant now. And so I made those process tweaks, but at the same time, I also implemented the bonus system for them. And we also have a tracking system where we're tracking the performance of each individual assistant, you know, like the number of latenesses or the number of mistakes that they make. And I mean, it sounds kind of, you know, kind of strict or whatever, but I mean, obviously I expect everybody makes mistakes and nobody will be perfect. And I've made that completely clear. But I implemented the quarterly bonus at the same time to kind of give them that incentive to like, this is how you're going to be evaluated on a quarterly basis. And that'll be reflected in bonuses. You know, I think it's important to put the right incentives in place. And I'm also thinking about this in terms of the salesperson. This week, I'm in the process of starting to train a salesperson to replace myself from the sales process. And I've worked out, you know, what the commission structure would be for that. And I think it'll be a combination of a commission on the sale, but also just a flat fee per consultation that he does. So again, just to incentivize the activity that we want to happen most often. And then same thing with the writers. Although some writers have gone to full-time salary now, a lot of them are still kind of on a freelance model where, you know, we're not paying by the hour, we're paying per article. And it's just a flat rate. So just to kind of like structure it based on the output that we expect. And so, yeah, it's just something that I've been working on and keeping everything structured, but also keeping it like pretty standardized across the whole team. So
I like it. Got to give incentive.
Yep.
Cool, man. So I got to go in a few minutes. And that reminds me of one piece of advice that I wish I would have taken a long time ago. And that would be to get a demo page up on your site. If you run software, it would be demo. If you run a service, it would be consultation, whatever it is. But ever since we put up a demo page, just sign up or request a demo, we have started speaking to much bigger companies. We just, every once in a while, every few days or so, we just get that notification, hey, someone submitted the demo page form. And almost always, it's a bigger company. And that's how they think and work. So in exactly 14 minutes, I'm speaking to a big company. That's a big opportunity. And they came in through the demo page. So I wish we had done that a lot sooner. I think a lot of people from bigger companies that looked at our pricing page didn't get in touch. And they didn't want to sign up. And that demo is just like the in-between that they're used to starting the sales process off with. So we always had the kind of like enterprise priced here that was like, talk to us if you're big volume. What we didn't have along with that is
which most people ignore.
Everyone ignores. You right. Want everyone to ignore it except the people that it refers to, but we should not have expected them to sign up and then talk to us. We should have said talk to us before signing up.
Yeah, I like that. In Restaurant Engine, I had both for a while, and then I made it only request a consultation and you can't even sign up. And then I kind of brought the sign up back. And now with Audience House, I kind of have the opposite thing where it's always been just request a consultation and that's how our sales process starts. But what I need to do is after they request the consultation, I need to have some auto response, which like, here's a video that answers the most common questions. And here's a button to get started right now. If you're ready to go today, if you know, instead of waiting for a week before we actually get on the phone,
right. Then the consultation isn't a sales consultation. It's a strategy call.
Yeah. Exactly. Cause I've had a couple calls where people were just kind of waiting for the ability to sign up. So I need to put that in place too.
Cool. I like it.
Very cool. Well, good luck on the sales call, and I'll let you go.
Thanks, man. Brian, good to catch up. Talk to you soon.
All right. There you go.